Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
A new report this morning from the Ombudsman for Children warns the impact of spinal surgery delays on children with scoliosis remains critical, and children's health outcomes are worsening as a result of this delayed treatment. The report highlights the case of Ivy, who has suffered long-term health implications following her initial five-year wait for scoliosis surgery. And Ivy is sadly no longer a candidate for follow-up surgery that could have greatly improved her standard of living. Well, for more on this, I'm joined in the studio by the Ombudsman for Children, Dr. Niall Muldoon. But first, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been speaking to Ivy's father about the devastating impact this has had both on Ivy and on the entire family. Good morning to you, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So how is Ivy doing?
Well, Ivy, which isn't her real name, is now a young woman in her early 20s. She's had, as you said, a five-year wait for essential life-changing surgery. She needed it to arrest the scoliosis. Scoliosis, as we know, is the curvature of the spine. Previously, Ivy's case was highlighted by the Ombudsman after the family, I understand, got in contact, and she had waited at that point for up to 5 years. She had her surgery, but as you'll hear, that's not really the end of her story. Delayed access to treatment in her case has had ongoing consequences. I spoke to Ivy's father, Joseph, last night, and he began, Claire, by telling me about the last few years.
It was a tough time for all family. The surgery was only step one. Ivy is really really bad mentally at the moment, you know, because the long time she was waiting, she was only waiting in the room. She can't visit the schools. She can see all the friends. If you imagine, we find out the scoliosis, if she was 30 degrees, and in few years, she fell 240 degrees almost. Few changes, you know, because she is better now. But we see she's changing, like, mentally.
Where is she at now?
She's much better. She visits day service, but that's all. She come home, she don't want to go nowhere, you know, because the time what she was waiting, she's getting used to it, to sitting alone. So the social life is gone totally.
In terms of follow-on care, unfortunately, Ivy is now not a candidate for a follow-on procedure, which she might have had if she'd had surgery earlier. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what does that mean for her quality of life?
Basically, she changed. We see lots of change. It's very difficult to travel with her. She can't sit in the plane. She's in the pain. She can't sit in the car properly. She's only in the wheelchair. You can't put her in the chair. Like, it's still really badly.
And what's the follow-on surgery she needs now?
She's waiting for one more surgery, and that's her right hip, which is dislocated.
What's the delay? Is it because 5 years waiting for scoliosis surgery has raised question marks over this surgery?
Yeah. You see, the spine is fixed now. So the hip is dislocated. So they tell me the opinion how to do it. I refuse it in the moment because they won't cut the bones, and she's going to left only with the muscle and skin. Yeah, it is. Like, can you imagine? She's 22 at the moment. She's nowhere. She's like stuck in the one place and nowhere to go. Left, right, no friends, no life, still with the pain, you know.
And we have heard a lot, Brian, about getting access to treatment abroad. Was that an option in their case?
Well, it wasn't an option in their case. The cost was prohibitive. Also, because Ivy had been left so long, it is far more complex surgery and requires far more additional supports. What it also means is that even now, access to poor surgery supports in Ireland has been very difficult. We hear this actually, Claire, time and time again from families I'd have spoken to. So the initial fight for surgery happens, and in some cases they get the surgery, and then they have to fight all over again for access to counselling services. Many of these children have PTSD. They have to fight for physios. Many end up paying privately. They pay privately for OTs if they can get access to one. Even some have had to fight to get access to proper wheelchairs. So I think many are calling for now is the need for wraparound supports in place, not just access to surgeries, which obviously is key and very, very important. I asked Joseph finally what impact the last few years has had on Ivy and on his family.
It was really, really tough time. Like I say, you know, you're watching her struggling every single day. You go in the room, you don't know if she's okay, you know, if she's still breathing or not. And that's things that people don't see. It's going to have impact for all the families. They have to clear the the waiting list as soon as possible. Because these kids and families don't have a time to wait, you know, because scoliosis, spasticism, everything is really fast. It can change day by day.
And yet we see, despite increases in funding in recent years, despite government promises, we see the waiting lists are as bad as ever.
It is really bad. Like, the waiting list is still the same. The kids, I see the pictures, but they have to think in faster a little bit for these kids. Thanks to the Ombudsman. And because without them, I don't know where they will be now. They push it, and hopefully they're going to push it for the other kids as well.
But isn't that the problem? It took for the Ombudsman to highlight Ivy's case for Ivy to get the healthcare she needed.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it is not easy, or you don't get the right answer when you go to ask, and then you have no option, just ask people for help. Because for them it's easy to say, look, we have a time, we have a this, but you like a parent see your child struggling every single day, you see something wrong, there's no time anymore, right?
And that was Joseph, father of Ivy, speaking to our reporter Brian O'Connell. And Niall Muldoon is with us, the Children's Ombudsman. Now, we know, as Joseph said, that you have reported before on Ivy's case. Today you have this update and a warning about delayed access to care. So are you saying that this is still happening?
Unfortunately, I am. As you're aware, Claire, I've been in here a number of times, and we did our first report on scoliosis as a right for children in 2017. At that time, we were hoping that the government and the hospitals at that stage weren't CHI, but they were individual hospitals. We were hoping that there would be a long-term plan. We were quite happy to accept a five-year plan to turn around the numbers. There was a commitment to move it to the four-month waiting list, but whatever, 4 months, 6 months, we would have been fine with that. 5 years was the hope we would turn around, but that was at that stage when we did that report. There was 238 people waiting for list, children waiting for scoliosis operations. This year there's 264. So the government will say they've made progress, they're doing different things, they've taken new initiatives, but we're still no further along in ensuring that no children is waiting too long.
I'm just looking, we've had two statements in on this, one from the Department of Health, one from Children's Health Ireland, and they say there are 138 children actively waiting for a date for their surgery, and that as of the 27th of September, 362 spinal surgeries have been completed this year to date, and they attribute this to this new paediatric spinal surgery management unit, and we had the head of that unit in with us here on the programme. He explained to us how they're using private hospitals like the Blackrock Clinic, they're using Kappa, they're also outsourcing to other countries. He was of the view they're doing what they can. They probably can't meet the 4 month deadline that was mentioned in 2017 by Simon Harris, but they're doing their best.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's undoubted, but they're not doing enough that allows us to say that no, the children are not being left too long. And you can see this is a really stark example, a devastating example of what happens when it's left too long. So again, the figure we got is 264 from the CHI. They gave us that figure on Friday. That's all the children that are waiting for scoliosis operations, including the ones that are pre-operation and what they call suspended for various different reasons. But again, the reality is these children haven't got their operation and they're still waiting. And as you heard from Ivy's father, if you have a child who's been cleared for operation and the 30-degree spinal curve, and by the time they get it, it's 140 degrees. I mean, that's just horrible. And you can see the complications that come with that. So the progress has been made, but we need to see much more of it, and we need to see it sustained. Mm-hmm. We know that the Minister Donnelly is sitting on this task force every month, pushing. If he moves off his grid in the new government, if things change, we need to know this is sustainable. This progress that's been made and that's been talked about has to be sustainable. And they also, all elements of that has to be there. So the pre-care and the post-care has to be with it as well.
Have you seen a change, though, this year since this spinal services management unit has been funded and put into place?
Again, if we use the same comparison figures, we're not seeing the numbers coming down in a way that makes it much more viable for children. Again, that may wash through in the next 18 months, next 12 months, whatever. But again, I need to know that this is not going to have to come up again in a year's time, in 2 years time. That's when we know you've really achieved change, not just a fast blitz on a waiting list. It needs to be sustainable.
Okay, now we know because of events over the last number of months, there was a breakdown in the relationship between the parents and the CHI. Given the contact that you have had with families impacted by this, has there been any improvement in that relationship?
I can't see it. I think there's still mistrust there. I think there's still different advocacy groups are involved in the task force, which is great, and that's important because that gives a voice to the children in some format or other. But again, when you see simple things like you can see in our report from Ivy, the apology that was provided by the CHI didn't involve anyone going down to her house. They made her travel for 3 hours in a car when it's painful for her to do so. They didn't provide a parking space for her. It's just the genuineness, it makes it difficult for parents to trust and to feel confidence in them. And things like, we have consistent complaints from parents, just simple stuff like they don't receive answers to questions about what the treatment plan is, where are they on the waiting list. They don't know if delays will mean that their children will be inoperable. So parents are constantly living in a vacuum, which is very scary for them. And now they hear stories that somebody who's left too long will end up with lifetime pain management.
Right. Just going back to what we heard from the department this morning on this, and they say that the minister sincerely regrets that children with scoliosis and spina bifida can experience a long waiting time for treatment. But they go on to talk about these initiatives, which I touched on there. Like, it's not an option, they say, suitable for all children waiting on spinal surgeries to get their surgery abroad. But they say that dozens of children will be able to do that in New York, in Great Ormond Street. And there are 38 children who are currently confirmed for those outsourced initiatives. Now, the trick with that will be to make sure they get the wraparound care when they come back.
Yeah. And I look forward to seeing that happen. And I'm delighted to hear about those numbers. But again, we can only go with the figures that were given to us on Friday. Is the total figures 264? If those figures start to come down and I come back to you in a year's time, we're down at 100. Again, the 4 months, 6 months is neither here nor there. But it's knowing that children are got through it as quickly as possible so that there's no long-term damage. And those initiatives are welcomed, very much welcomed. And I'm delighted that the minister is pushing these hard and making a difference. But I've got to know that a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, those children will still get what they need.
Okay, so your concern as well is election, change of government. You want to see these efforts
Absolutely.
Sustained into the future.
Yeah, and again, that has to be the CHI's responsibility. That shouldn't be a government-led responsibility. This should be standard professional way of doing things. When we started in 2017, there was a commitment within the CHI and within the government to make changes. And nothing of any serious sustainability has happened. Now we see a major blitz, huge investment, big changes happening, but it has to be sustainable so that we don't have to revisit this again.
All right, Niall Muldoon, thank you very much for coming in to the studio. And earlier we heard Ivy's father, Joseph, who spoke to our reporter, Brian O'Connell.